Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Season 9, Episode 3 of 90 Day Fiancé. My name's Marty. I'm here with Jen.
Hey, guys.
And let's go ahead and get started right away. Great episode. We're going to start with Belial and Shida. First and foremost, Belial's passive-aggressive shirt, be grateful.
Yeah, that was definitely not an accident on his part.
Not subtle.
And I saw there was a tweet or meme circulating where somebody had asked the question of where is his Be Truthful shirt.
Exactly.
Good question.
Definitely. And then we also had Shida apologizing for her reaction and giving more context to why she was feeling the way she was feeling. You know, basically, when she saw that he didn't have much money, and considering that she, on her visa, cannot work at that time, she was concerned with, well, how are we going to survive? Which is actually a pretty reasonable concern.
It is. I agree, and I was with her with that until about, like, you know, 2 minutes later when Belial leaves for the day or to do his business or whatever, mm-hmm. and she calls her mom, and they immediately get to just talking shit about him.
Yeah.
Like, she's pointing out the different things in the house, the ceiling, rightfully so on the ceiling. And then, you know, the mom is, like, the real MVP, you know, in 2 points here. One, where she asks the question about, you know, was he renting those expensive suits that he wore all those times? So I thought that was pretty funny of the mom to point out.
Right, exactly.
And then the mom also goes on to point out that to her, you know, money and material things are not everything, you know, mm-hmm. Try to be that wife, that homemaker, and make the house a home type thing. So
yeah, mom,
also good
mom was
of mom.
Definitely coming from not entirely from Belial's perspective, but trying to give her some more insight to the, you know, try to look at the whole situation.
Yeah, give him a chance, you know, she said. Mm-hmm. The thing with Shida is she keeps talking about how she felt deceived. And I understand, you know, it really does, no matter how you slice it, it really does boil down to her, no matter how she says it or other people say it, she feels deceived because she thought that he had more money than what, at this point in time, she thinks he has. And
right.
So that is still, you know, a problem. You know, like, you shouldn't be expecting a bunch of money, and you should be doing this for the person, right? Not mm-hmm. for the kind of money and material things you think they have, based on how she keeps saying his Louis Vuitton luggage and his suits. And so that's where, like, I'm just having a hard time with Shida, because no matter how you say it, she is very concerned and interested in his wealth. And
yeah, I mean, there's definitely materialism there, but there's also legitimacy as well. And the fact that, he was lying. I mean, either he's lying because of the joke, but even if he was being truthful, he was being kind of deceitful in how he's presenting himself. So, you know, I can see being annoyed with that. But, you know, she definitely, there's definitely that kernel of materialism that's there.
Absolutely. And, something that, you know, I thought was interesting was how Shida asked Belial, you know, if your mom doesn't like me, will you still be with me? And he was like, probably not. But on the other side of that coin, it's like, well, Shida, you don't seem like, if he doesn't have money, you don't seem like you want to be with him. You know what I mean? So it just
right.
kind of, that was a little interesting, I guess, kind of
yeah.
parallel there.
I don't know. It sounded like when she apologized, she kind of made it sound like she would be willing to accept that for now, as long as the goal was to expand and move up, right?
Right. And that's what the mom pointed out. You know, I think she said, you know, if he's lazy and this and that, then take your butt back home is what
yeah,
the mom says.
And I think that's probably good advice.
I think that's fair. And I do think that overall, Belial's joke was very immature and just kind of, you know, if he had done it in a much more condensed, you know, like maybe pulled that joke for an hour
exactly.
kind of a thing and really made
thing.
It more of a ha-ha gotcha
this
funny
isn't our
thing.
House. Let's go to the real house.
Yeah, like that would have been funny.
I thought
like
the
if
exact
you,
same
if
thing.
If you did it for about an hour, but like the whole day, it's like he's some wise old owl trying to teach some child about
that's
gratitude.
That's what I was
going to
say too.
And,
it,
you know,
the
that's
joke,
not cool.
The joke seems to be coming from this place of narcissism. It's almost
yes.
like, look at where I started and how far I've come. Be impressed with me, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
It, you know, it's like you can be proud of your accomplishments, but he's just kind of taking it to another level.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a 20-minute joke and then, haha, just kidding, girl, let's go to my real house. Yeah, that wouldn't be such a big deal.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
She probably would have, well, maybe would have laughed at that.
Yeah, I mean, she was traveling all day, so she might not. May not have been in a joking mood. But, I mean, and if it's a real relationship and you want it to be taken seriously, maybe don't give out tests.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
It wasn't much of a joke. No one really laughed. And it backfired because now she's saying she can't fully trust him.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so he didn't really gain a whole lot from this whole experiment, right? And he didn't, you know, he never really gave any consideration to the fact that she's probably tired and not really in the mood for jokes and being tested.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like he's the type of guy that would hold things over his wife's head. Like, you should be grateful I'm providing you all these things, and, you know, condemns her for not showing the gratitude in a way that he's comfortable with her, that he expects.
Yeah, and that's what I'm worried about, too, a little bit with their relationship going forward is Bilal being that way, and, you know, any time that, you know, Shida slips up or doesn't do something to his liking, especially with his whole OCD thing, that's a card he's going to play at her a lot, is, oh, you should be grateful for everything I'm doing for you, you
exactly.
know?
So let's move on to Eve and Mohammed.
Well, first of all, Eve really loves the word literally. I don't know if you noticed, literally this, literally that. So,
yeah,
her
that's
favorite
true.
Word.
And
we
she
also,
still smells kind of desperate. I still get a little desperation off of her. But.
Yes, a little bit. But what we do find out, which we discussed a little bit on our last episode, was we do find out exactly where Mohammed is from in Egypt. I don't know if they, 90 Day Fiancé, listened to our podcast or what, but Alexandria.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Alexandria is specifically where he's from. So,
okay.
Mystery solved.
Alexandria is beautiful this time of year. I have no idea where that is.
How close to the pyramids do you think? That's how we gauge it.
So Mohammed, uncomfortable with PDA, which seems to be a common theme with Muslim men in this show. Not really, not into the whole holding hands in public and hugging in public. But so I don't know. I always thought that maybe that was an excuse to not be affectionate, but maybe it's legitimate.
Yep. And with that, Mohammed does say after he gets to the airport and he hugs and I think kisses Eve, he does say that, you know, he was excited to be at the airport and to show that PDA, and he even mentioned it being his first taste of freedom, is what he said. So,
yeah, right.
So I liked that because that showed me that, you know, maybe he's looking forward to that cultural shift for him where he can display, you know, affection for her.
His is probably more legitimate than, say, Danielle's husband, Mohammed. Danielle's
yes.
Mohammed, who... didn't want to kiss her at the wedding.
And who was the other one? Morocco. Azin. Yeah, he had all the reasons in the book to be nowhere near Nicole. So
he hated Nicole.
You're just lazy. You're just
didn't
lazy.
Like her at all.
As she's hiking the Sahara Desert. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah. So Mo, well, I call him Mo, Mohammed. When he's Eve's age, Eve will be 71. And I feel like people who have major, you know, gaps in age with their partners, sometimes they don't think of things like that. And I don't know, because he'll only be 48 and she'll be in her 70s. And it's like, well, how's that going to work?
Maybe she'll be, with all her sound therapy and whatnot, she'll be a really young 78.
Like hot 70? Like, yeah. I don't know. That's really interesting. So not technically supposed to be living with each other. Mohammed,
but
they're making an exception.
He is making exceptions. You know, he feels that he's basically married to her, but he's not. So I like that little creative workaround there. But like, so him bending these religious rules of his makes me feel also a little bit better about the relationship because Eve has gotten some heat from the squad about her changing herself and things like that. But he's also changing himself, you know, and so I like that there's that balance there and he's not, you know, I'm not going to change anything about me. You're going to change everything about you to fit my beliefs and my way of living. So
the previous episode, it kind of seemed like maybe it was going to go in that direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, he looks a lot like Tim or Team.
He does.
From, what was it? Before the 90 days with Jennifer and Tim. Yes.
Definitely. There is a passing resemblance there.
Absolutely.
So his mommy fetish, we can't not talk about that. I mean, the perfect woman would love me like my mother. Like, What?
Yeah. A lot of red flags just kind of erupted right there for me.
That's a little creepy.
You know, you are 25, your fiance is, you know, in her 40s, and mm-hmm. you are saying out loud to everyone that you're looking for a mom. You're looking right. for a mom to take care of you, and that's why I think he says he's all right with leaving his country, because he's coming and having another mom. Another
mommy. Someone on Twitter called him her fiancé.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that's perfect.
That's right on theme there.
Right.
But ultimately, between all the couples and the people we've seen so far, I do have to say that Eve is so far my favorite woman, I believe.
Definitely. Yeah,
just something
I agree.
About her energy or her, you know, her energy, you know,
right,
sound
right.
energy.
Sound energy.
But yeah, just her as a whole, I do really enjoy her so far.
Yeah, I don't get as much of the privilege as some of the other women in this season. You know, it seems like she's pretty much in it for the right reasons, and she does seem very level-headed.
Yes.
Know?
And I was a little bit worried at first that she would turn out to be another who was the lady from Michigan who went to she was with
Ryan.
With Ryan and then got with his cousin at the end of it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember her name, but her. That's, you know, like,
oh,
that she'd be
exactly
some middle aged, you know,
cougar?
I don't know. Yeah, some weird middle aged cougar midlife crisis situation. But I really do like her. I do. She's my favorite so far.
So a lot of people are giving Muhammad shit on social media for sort of demanding a bidet.
No pun intended, giving him shit.
Shit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, good one.
You know what? I'm on Muhammad's side with this one. I have a bidet. I love my bidet. It's great. And once you get one, you can't go back to just dry paper. It's just, you can't. And let's be real here. Muhammad's a Middle Eastern man. He's probably pretty hairy. You know, if he takes off those clothes,
probably
he probably looks like
assumption.
A fucking chimp. You know what I mean? So, listen, he's going to need a little bit more than toilet paper to knock out those dingleberries. He's going to need a power washer.
Yes. And, you know, as noted, he does need to be as clean as possible when he talks to God
right.
multiple times a day. But right. I think that now that you mentioned the hair situation, I think that is probably more priority one and then God
absolutely.
Second, probably. So,
you know, and I'm not mad at him for it.
And that's what I like, too, is, you know, Eve is like, oh, I'm worried that there'll be cultural differences and we won't be able to get along. And then so far, the first big cultural difference we're seeing is the lack of a bidet, you know, where Muhammad talks
right.
about it. And he's basically like, I don't know, man. I don't know how this is going to work out without this bidet. So
yeah.
that's, you know, Americans don't wash
again,
their ass enough,
that
I guess.
Hair,
so.
That hair situation, man, I'm telling you, that's what's giving him pause.
Ugh, all gross. Right. Okay. Anyway.
Ari and Benny. I fucking hate Ari.
Yes,
I don't like her at all.
She looks a little bit like a Who from Whoville.
Definitely.
I've never been able to shake that. All
but
the other shows she's
who
been in.
Who from Whoville that like Elisa Frankstor threw up on.
Yes.
Just horrific. I
yes.
don't like it at all.
She dresses very colorfully.
Benny's okay, but yeah, Ari's obnoxious as shit. Her voice and her smug attitude.
She's also got a lot of privilege dripping from her as well. So
oh, yeah. Her dad's
definitely.
A cardiologist. You
She's
know.
A freelance writer.
What the fuck does that mean? Yeah, and then, you know, the fact is neither one of them were fucking working, and she had a nanny.
Yep.
That her parents just, like, paid for. And yep. their parents were paying for their apartment. And they're going to pay for an apartment in America in the same
yep.
complex
right,
as
what,
the parents.
Right next door to them or something? Yep.
Right. Exactly. It's also funny that, you know, I made a note that she seems like a control freak, and then later in the episode, Minnie's sister says she's a control freak.
So,
it's like, nail on the head.
With the control thing, so I agree that Ari comes off and is very controlling, but mm-hmm. the other thing is, Benny comes off to me as very childish. He wants to be this grown man boy that, you know, does his music, does his dancing, does this, does that, does whatever
sure.
he wants, and where I feel like almost their relationship is toxic, first of all. We'll just put that out there. It's
yeah.
it's been toxic. They keep starting over for the 100th time and moving on. They're gonna start over in every country before, you know, they call it quits. So there's that. But I feel like a lot of it, you know, they heat each other up. They both do exactly what they know is going to upset the other
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to work out better communication, which is
mm-hmm.
key for a successful relationship.
Sure.
And so with that dynamic, I feel that Benny is very childish, which makes Ari have to take more of a firmer hand and be almost the grown-up in the relationship. But so that's how I see it. But I definitely think that they both have room to him be less childish and her therefore be able to kind of meet that energy by being less controlling.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Because it seems like her controlling attitude is almost outweighs his
I think
childishness.
That,
I mean, I definitely see what you're saying, and I think he is childish.
I think that her controlling does almost, again, like a child. Like when you get a real controlling parent, a lot of the times what happens is you have a really rebellious child is what happens. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how I look at them. I mean,
yeah,
she's definitely controlling, and she definitely could cool it in some ways. But I feel like it's just a toxic situation where her controlling behavior makes Benny be that rebellious child.
Yeah,
almost,
I mean, it's
kind of
like a chicken or the egg situation. I don't know. Because Benny, you know, was a successful MMA fighter, so he's got to have some discipline in his life, right? And he's in very good shape and everything. I don't know. It just seems like she calls all the shots and just lets him know after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing this, and if you want to stay with me, you can join us. You know, I don't know. I feel like she does that, and it's sort of out of proportion, in my mind, to Benny's childishness. He's definitely childish, but I don't think her approach to that is right.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And it's like, I do agree with you, but it's like, you know, when she was moving to Ethiopia in, what was it, the other way?
Oh, she was moving to...
When she was moving to Ethiopia first.
Kenya?
To Ethiopia first, and then
right.
It didn't work out, and then they went to Kenya to start over. But mm-hmm. when she was first coming to Ethiopia, you know, she left it up to him to find them a decent... Which she's pregnant, they're going to have a baby, you know, to find a decent living space. And mm-hmm. the places, I don't know if you remember, that he showed her when she got there were absolute shit. They were the pits.
Right.
And so I think it's situations like that.
Yeah, but
where,
then again, did they have the parents bankrolling him at that point?
Unknown.
You know what I mean?
But
maybe Benny was shopping for their budget, what he thought their budget was, and then she's like, I can't live this way. Mom and Dad, help us out.
Yeah, which I think is what ended up happening.
Right.
But I could see Ari looking at it as, you know, I gave him the task. I trusted him with finding us a safe, stable place to live. And then you bring me to a pit.
Yeah, but you know,
it's all
relative too, though. You
yeah.
know?
And so I think it's just like a, like how you said, you know, which came first, chicken or the egg. I think it bounces
right.
back. End of the day, I don't think that either of them actually love each other.
I think they're there for the kid.
Yeah, I think Benny is definitely there for the kid, 100%. And I feel like Ari is more in it to be able to start over, try again, and get it right to have a successful relationship, to be for the element of being right. That's what I think Ari's in it for.
Right.
It's just to be right, to
I
say, haha, I knew this relationship would work. You
right.
guys are all wrong. You know, I think that's more her motivation.
Right. She doesn't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
And Benny, I mean, he definitely has PTSD from his first family
definitely.
Situation, right? And it doesn't really seem like she's particularly... In my opinion, it doesn't seem like she's particularly sensitive to that. Like, she just kind of gets mad at him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we learn that Benny feels that Ari's mom is too involved with their relationship. And now they're going to be living in the same apartment complex. So
yeah, so that's definitely going to make things better, right?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that works.
Yep. And then...
How about Benny's music? Did you get to say... What did you think about what you heard?
You know, I liked it better than... other artists we've heard on the show. So it had a catchy beat. You know, like did you notice his dancing though in the video? It was mostly just a lot of pelvic thrusting. You know, that was just a pelvic thrusting to the beat.
Like a Beavis and Butthead kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. I don't know. Is Benny's music better than Soulja Boy's?
You know,
it might be.
Good question.
It might be. Is it better than Jabri's? I don't know.
They're all different in their own way. How about
and
we say
none
that?
Of it's very. It's not like music I would listen to.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's hard to call. And so you know he's having that party to celebrate his music video. Now, I may be wrong, but in my mind, it almost comes off as amateurish to put out a music video these days. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's more. Yeah, I feel like it's outdated to have a party of a music video.
Or maybe it's just a party. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was strange. I did enjoy when he goes to tell or when his sisters come and they go to, like, they hug Benny and say hi, and then they both won't hug Ari. And then one of them was like, oh, it's because of COVID. She doesn't want to touch anybody, but she just touched Benny. So that was a good little side diss there.
That's pretty great. And the party was a little sad. It was a little lackluster, the party. I mean, they were just kind of out in some common area at, like, a cafe, and they put the video up on, like, a TV, like a 32-inch flat screen.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even really a club or a bar. It just, like your local diner kind of thing.
Like, you compare that to, like, Soulja Boy's video party with Baby Girl Lisa, and it was, like, this big party, and there's a ton of people there, and it was, like... It was, like, well-produced, like, the whole event. It was, like, an event, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one was, it was different.
Yeah, yeah, just different's a good word.
It was a little sad. Benny fucked up big time, not telling his family that he's going to leave
until the night before. Yes.
You can't.
I am not the biggest Ari fan, but I 100% do not think that she deserved the wine toss. I think she deserved it on other occasions.
She deserved it for other things,
but not this moment.
And I was glad to see it.
Yeah, it was, but... you know, definitely an iconic moment in this.
I think the only shame about it is that, you know, they got wine on Benny's nice shirt.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really disappointing. Yeah, he wore a white shirt, of course.
Right.
I'm not surprised that his sisters blame Ari for him telling them last minute. That doesn't surprise me. But I don't think that it was between Benny and Ari. It was absolutely not Ari's responsibility to tell them.
That's on Benny. Yes. That's Benny's family. He should be telling them . And, and it's not even really, I guess, I mean, if you want to say it was Ari's fault that he's leaving, I mean, maybe in, like, a roundabout way, but.
Yeah.
You know.
But they were mad, and they were saying, well, you're our family, too, which, again, I side with Ari, you know, when they said that, well, you're our family, too. You should have told us if he didn't. And it's like, you don't treat Ari like family any other time, though. You really don't.
That's true.
I was on her side for that little
scene. They definitely don't treat her like family.
Yep. Yeah. I was definitely on Team Ari.
But when she said, I married Benny, not you guys, that's wrong. When you marry someone, you marry their family, too. You know, that's something you have to consider. So, you know, they are family, but they definitely don't treat her like family.
Exactly.
You know, and with Ari, I think the thing that really bugs me is that, you know, when you're a kid, like in your early 20s, maybe late teens, and you think you have real problems, and then you grow up and you find out that what real problems are really about, I think Ari's kind of in that mindset, and she just never grew up. You know what I mean? Because she's got a safety net. You know, there's nothing that can possibly happen to her that where she's, like, homeless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's always going to be taken care of. So it's like you don't fully grow up when you're in that situation.
I agree. And, but yeah, so the wine toss was iconic. And, you know, Benny could have definitely and should have definitely de-escalated. I mean, he sat there quiet as a mouse. And he knew it was his fault. He knew that he caused the whole situation.
The other sister had a drink, too.
Yeah. Ari's lucky. It was just that one. And, you know, Ari knew his sisters. He knows the tension between them, you know, and he just sat there. And he should have – I was just mad at him for he caused the situation. And then he just sat there and didn't even try to defuse it. And then
– Not even a, like, oh, come on, guys.
Not
like nothing.
A peep. Not a word. Not a word.
Yeah. No, he just kind of took it, didn't he? Okay. Jabri and Miona. Now, you talked about your favorite woman this season, and I agree. It's definitely Eve. My favorite man is Jabri.
Yes, mine too.
That. He tries really hard. Some people are calling him annoying, and I understand why. But you can't deny that the man's putting in effort.
Yeah. He was annoying to me at first, like with like the, you know, the funky clothes and this and that, but and I'm a hustler and, you know, AKA unemployed but he is absolutely my favorite man on the show by a long shot because he tries and he just somehow, like, his obnoxious efforts are funny. They're comical.
They're
funny. He wore this big pink suit, and of course he rips them beforehand. You know, just like little things. You know, he tries to get his car clean, and he gets a shower. You know, he tries so hard, but he's just that guy where it just doesn't quite connect all the way. You know.
But you know what? If you talk to women, you know, if you do, because you're not a woman, right? But if you talk to women, they'll tell you that I just want my guy to make an effort. You know what I mean? I want him to try. Jabri's trying. Even if he's not necessarily succeeding on all fronts, he is trying.
Absolutely. And, you know, he says, he says something about, he's like, oh, I don't think that Miona understands the situation that we got ourselves in. And then he's like, wait a minute, I don't even think I do. But then he at least says, he's like, oh, I got to get my credit score right. I gotta start being more like an adult. And so he understands a little bit that he's
better late than never.
Got to do better than what he's doing, but right. He's just still got a ways to go here.
Yeah, and I also thought it was kind of funny that he embarrassed her a bit, but it's that emotionless Eastern European thing where it's like she can't even convey her emotions.
Yeah, and then then when she tells the camera after one of these embarrassing things, she's like, oh, you know, like stone cold face, no emotion, just, you know, as we discussed, you know, and she's just like, oh, you know, he does stuff over the top all the time and embarrasses me, but I love that about him. You know, and right. Just like, but you can't even read on her face, like, do you? Like, I can't.
It's the same reaction. Her embarrassment reaction is the same as if you gave her $1 million.
And like, her happy face is the like, same meh. As any other face, right. Absolutely.
Rapid City. Definitely has a small town vibe.
Yes, I like how there's another meme circulating about how, you know, Jabri, as they're leaving the airport, Miona's like, there's nothing here. And he's like, what do you mean there's nothing? And there's literally nothing surrounding them. And then they get to the city, you know, quotes, right. City. Of right. And she's like, oh, they're one story buildings, and then they drive for like 2 minutes, and she's like, that's it, that's it, and he's just, you know, what do you mean?
What do you still? Mean? Of course, I mean she's clear, and we've said this from the beginning. She's clearly not the type of person that wants to build, and she's not the type of person. And this kind of bugs me about her. She's not the type of person who wants to make the best of a situation or tries to make the best of the situation.
Yes,
it's like, you know, she doesn't like Rapid City. And but it doesn't seem like she's really willing to give it a chance either.
Yeah, she was hoping she could just come to Rapid City and then like a week later move to LA. And
right.
Which is funny because she knows she's not working or she knows she doesn't have money. And, you know, this is where Jabri said in a previous episode that, oh, we don't talk about finances and we probably should. Like, yeah, you probably should, because obviously she has in her mind some way, shape or form that it's possible to come here and then immediately move to an expensive place like LA.
I don't know if she understands how much how expensive LA is.
And that's where it was funny when they were talking in the car and he's like, oh, over there is where they do ice skating, you know, we can ice skate in the winter. And she's like, well, I don't think we're gonna be here in the winter. And then fast forward, they're at the dinner with the mom and the mom mentions that it's the fall.
It's
and
fall
it's gonna
time.
Get cold. So you think
you're gonna move in like 2 months?
When you both don't have jobs and you're living with his parents, you think you're gonna have the money magically when you can't
you
even
start
work?
Start that OnlyFans, get it up and running now.
Yep, get it started now.
And you know, in my opinion, and people would certainly disagree, I'm sure, although I can't imagine why. In my opinion, there are no boring places. There's only boring people.
Yeah.
And even, you know, places that aren't hopping nightlife and really hip and everything, you can still make the best of it. You can find a way to make it fun. If you can't, then you're just not creative, and maybe you're just not a particularly fun person.
Yep, there's some truth to that. I agree with that.
So Jabri's mom wasted no time in laying down the law.
Yes, Jabri was worried that he didn't want his mom to wheel out the therapist chair. He wanted her to roll out the red carpet. Mm-hmm. But what she really did was more of an interrogator's chair, I felt.
Definitely, definitely. But you know, it seemed like Miona reacted, I mean, to the whole chores discussion, she reacted pretty well to that. I was kind of expecting her to get shitty about it, but no, she reacted pretty... You know, it was a reasonable request. And,
that's how I felt too. I was expecting her to be a little more of, you know, attitude-y about it, but she was like, okay, yeah, no problem. And Jabri was more, you know, the evil eyes and rolling his eyes and being mad about it. And so like, right. I was expecting the opposite with them, I guess.
Right. Yeah, me too, I guess. And like you were talking about the interrogator's chair, and then kind of that's, you know, kind of what Jabri says when he says it's, she's asking worrying questions.
Yeah.
Which I understand. I know what he means by worrying questions, because sometimes people just want to put the cloud around your silver lining, you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And that's where I like Brian the dad. You know, he he was very chill, very level-headed, and mm-hmm. just kind of, hey, you guys go ahead and sleep, you know, we'll take care of it, you know, take it easy, and, mm-hmm. you know, and that's, and I was proud of Jabri, too, for kind of cutting in, too, and being like, hey, man, like, it's her first night here, like, take it easy, you know,
yes.
and, because, again, like how we pointed out, everybody's been on a long flight, they want to sleep, like, you know, you got to right. grill them tonight, like, do that tomorrow, you know, just, mm-hmm. just give them, let them sleep, and then do it tomorrow.
Right, like, I don't even care about the response, I'm planting the seeds of doubt. You yep. know, like, oh, come on. Okay, Emily and Kobe.
Well, Emily is a born again virgin looking yes. to undo that quickly, very quickly. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for Kobe. He hasn't met his kid yet. It's been 2 years. Like, let him meet his fucking kid. Like, yeah. just bring him to meet the kid, even if it's just a couple hours, and then go out and do your thing. I mean, let him. He's been fantasizing about that moment for 2 fucking years.
Absolutely, and like his 30-hour plane ride, that's probably all he was thinking about. And then
right, he came from Cameroon. He came from Africa. That's a hell of a trip.
Yep, and I don't see what the big deal is about. You know, I understand Emily wanted to get it in, but mm-hmm. if she's going to be living, which she is, if she's living with her parents, why did it have to be that night? Why couldn't you right. have done it the next night? Why couldn't you have even stopped by and hung out for a few hours? Like, oh, mm-hmm. hey, you know, meet the son and then go, you know, have your sexy time.
Yeah.
But
they
or
have
at least built in
babysitters.
Him.
Yeah. Or ask him. Ask yep. him, what do you want to do? We can get in a hotel or we can go meet your son. 100% he would have said, well, let me go meet the son and we'll do a hotel another time.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad for him. It's bad for the kid. You know, the kid needs his dad, too. So, yeah, I felt like she wasn't really considering his feelings.
Yeah, absolutely you know. Not. And that was kind of a theme for their segment, I feel, in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We took to Twitter, and we have a Twitter account, guys. It's Big Ed's Neck _, just like our podcast name here.
Ed_Ed's_Neck.
Yeah, but if you search it the other way, it also comes
up. It'll come up. Yeah.
But so we posted a meme regarding the scene with Emily where, you know, she has, you know, she wants to get it in, but her man, Kobe, has the audacity to want to see his son first for the first time. And so we, some thoughts from our, the replies from our Twitter, from our tweet there was, Hi, Rachel says, that's despicable, I say, with a slobbery lisp. Which,
I told you she had a lisp.
Yeah, you did. So, you know, Rachel felt that her behavior was despicable mm-hmm. regarding not letting him see his son right away.
And definitely.
The consensus on the comments, too, was that, of course, Emily is selfish, immature,
right.
Self-centered.
She's coming from a perspective of someone who got to spend every day with the kid. And it's like, well, you got to remember, he hasn't.
Absolutely. You know? Yep. And then we've got our Karen from Twitter, whose real name is Teresa, who said, as a parent, you take your mommy and daddy time when you can get it, and it's not like she's keeping him away from his son for another month or year. It's an evening away so they can rekindle the relationship that has been on hold for 2 years. It's not a big deal. However, yeah. Kobe's face seemed to say otherwise.
It seemed like a big deal to Kobe. That's almost a form of torture to let him stew and then start to get real excited, like, I'm going to be seeing my kid in 2 hours. Because, you know, that's how he was on the plane thinking about it that way. Like, oh, in 12 hours, I'm going to see my kid. And when I get off the plane, he's going to be there, and I'm going to hug him. I'm going to be able to kiss him and everything like that. And then he gets off the plane, and he's not there.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way.
He gets some panties thrown at him, and it's like, oh, yeah, you're not seeing your son tonight.
And you're not even seeing him tonight. You got to wait another day. It's like, no, listen, that's not right. It's not fair.
Yep. And then as Samantha pointed out, she said, if Kobe wanted the ride and she wanted him to meet his kid first, it'd be a whole different story. He would be the asshole.
Yeah.
He would be a jerk, you know.
Right, exactly.
And then also good point by Princess Kelly was, kid aside, girl, put some makeup on. Do your hair. You haven't seen your man in 2 years and this is how you show up. That was fair. She put a lot of effort into keeping him from his son one more night, but not in her own appearance.
Right, right. I mean, geez, Louise. And Kobe notices very quickly that he's the only black person around.
Yes.
Which I thought was, well, that's not surprising. They're in a place called Salina, Kansas, I think.
Really anywhere in Kansas, I feel.
Anywhere in Kansas, probably.
Would be a little bit, you know, slim pickings there.
Right. And what I thought also was very, very interesting was the stories about being a black man in China. It was, you know, pretty sad. But it's interesting, too, because it's like you don't really hear a lot about race relations in China, you know.
Yeah, you kind of really only hear about it in America. I don't know if it's in just because we're America, in America, but right. it is interesting to hear, you know, about another country acting racist or being racist.
Right, right. And of course she brought up money on their date night.
Yeah, and she convinces him to put off seeing his son again, and then only to just grill the fuck out of him about, I want an expensive ring. I, you know, you what? How much money did you bring?
Really,
you know,
me.
How are you going to make money? You know, and it's just like, I could be seeing my son right now. I could be having my kid in my hands, but I'm here, you know, and I just totally got just dragged in and then dragged through the mud. You know?
She has the audacity to say, like, yeah, I know it's the thought that counts. Like, well, apparently not.
Exactly.
Apparently it's not the thought. I want a real ring. Like,
with the
Jesus
money that
Christ.
That she knows he doesn't have. You know?
He can't even make money right now. It's against the rules.
Yep,
it,
you're grilling him over answers that you already know.
Right. She's
and
like, I don't
want
to have to pay for everything. It's like, well, you knew going in you were going to have to pay for everything for a little while.
Absolutely.
Like, and of course, you know, finances, you got to figure that out. But, I mean, Jesus, he just got off the plane like an hour ago. Why don't you fucking relax?
Yes. And regarding him being one of the only African-Americans around, you know, in the restaurant, he tries to talk to Emily about that and about feeling uncomfortable. And she was totally dismissive over his emotions and his feelings. Just wanted to get right back to, well, where's my money, basically? Where's my ring? Where's my money?
And
like, oh, fuck your feelings on that. Look, there's another black guy in the corner. See him? And, so you know, like, back to the money.
You're not
and,
the only black guy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. Gee, thanks. There's one more.
One
I feel
other
so
black
much
guy
better.
Tucked away in the corner over there. Yeah.
The way the cameraman just zoomed in on that guy, too. Just that
was
me.
Really funny, because you know how creepy it would be if that guy looked over right at that moment
at
and
the
just
exact
someone's
moment
pointing a camera right at him.
Yes.
Yeah, and it also annoyed me when she's going on about, you know, I want to know how you feel, I can't read you, you gotta tell me, and then wouldn't shut the fuck up so that he could
tell her
how he fucking feels.
Yep.
And that was obnoxious.
Yep. So the consensus from Twitter was that she is obnoxious, ridiculous, despicable, selfish. All the other synonyms for those words.
All the above.
I agree. With the exception of Karen's opinion. But mommy and daddy can have mommy and daddy time maybe the next night or an hour later after meeting the kids.
They
something.
Have a built-in just babysitter. It's that's just ridiculous.
Yep. So thank you, Karen.
Yep. Well, that just about does it for this edition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. We'll be joining again sometime next week to talk about episode 4.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Goodbye.